Well, what was yesterday, March the 21st? What was the significance of March the 21st? Ireland won the Six Nations, yes, Super Saturday in the rugby, yes. Somebody else said something else? Blackheath won the league. Sorry? Spring equinox, I learnt the other day, which I didn't know, that equinox means that the light and the dark are equal, but, you know, I've learned these things. The spring equinox, the first day of spring. But yesterday, March the 21st, the beginning of the spring equinox, was also the beginning of New Year. New Year are for peoples in many parts of the world, dating from the time of Zoroaster in ancient Persia. March the 21st, the spring equinox, has been New Year. And today it's celebrated as New Year's Day amongst Persians, Zoroastrians, Baha'is, in Afghanistan, in India, and in many households in this country. And the word for New Year is not New Year, it's Nowruz, meaning new day. March the 21st marks a new day, the start of something new. And there are many customs associated with that day in the what they call the Persianate world. One of them is to put on a table in the house seven items that in the Persian language begin with the letter S. Haft means seven, and seen is the letter S. Haft, seen, seven items. Each has a particular significance. There's wheat or barley or lentil sprouts growing in a dish, and they symbolize green environment, happiness, and birth. There's a sweet pudding made from germinated wheat, and sweetness symbolizes affluence. The dried fruit of the oleaster tree symbolizes firmness and tolerance. Garlic symbolizes medicine. There'll be a test on this at the end. Garlic symbolizes medicine. There are some apples, and they symbolize beauty and love. And sumac berries symbolize patience. And the last symbol is vinegar, which symbolizes development and evolution. And on this table, over the 13 days in which they celebrate the new year, or the new day, there are these seven items, seven elements, which speak of virtues that obviously people hope will characterize members of the household during the new year. Now, the importance of symbols for the Iranian New Year connect with the importance of symbols in the bread and wine of the Last Supper of Jesus with his friends. And the lesson that we had today exemplifies Jesus' transformation of traditional Jewish symbols at their most significant meal to inaugurate something new, a new day in the history of the world. For Jesus, in that lesson, takes the special meal for Jewish people, the annual one in which they remember their rescue by God from Egypt so many centuries previously, and gives it a new meaning. This sermon is addressed on a reading which is part of our series in going through Matthew's Gospel. And I want to look particularly at the meal, its setting, its elements, and that new meaning, those three themes from our reading today. And we start with the setting for the meal. Now, the way that Matthew writes in that reading, it's clear that Jesus had carefully planned for this meal with his disciples. Verse 17, Matthew 26, page 996, first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were in Jerusalem, the disciples, and said, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" The Passover, a reminder of the way the angels passed over the Jewish people, the Hebrew people in Egypt, and to enable them to be safe and to be released from Egypt. And he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed, and they got that special meal and that table together." In other words, he carefully made arrangements with one of his followers in Jerusalem to use a room in his house. Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, my appointed time is near. Although the person's not named, it's clear that he's known to Jesus and to the disciples, not least because the message would make sense to a stranger. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples in your house. It had been planned. I don't know about you, when I read those verses, my appointed time, I have that sort of sinking feeling in my stomach. Something terrible is going to happen. And Jesus knows that. And he's walking into, or moving into that meal and what follows, well aware of his destiny, his terrible destiny, his brutal death as an innocent man offering his life for the sake of others, for the sake of the world, and still he goes through. I sometimes wonder what the atmosphere was like at that meal. It must have been really quite strange. After that week in Jerusalem where he taught, he'd overthrown the moneylenders in the temple, he'd debated and disputed with the religious leadership, there must have been a sense of something very serious impending. And that would have been heightened by the conversation between Jesus and his disciples and Jesus and Judas. He was reclining at the table, and then Matthew recalled, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. And there's a conversation about it. And even when he identifies Judas, the others don't appear to understand. Surely not I, Rabbi, says Judas. And Jesus answered, yes, it is you. And we hear no more in that story. Though John, in his gospel, speaks of Judas leaving and going out. It was carefully planned. There are steps within there that lead up to what was to happen a few hours later. That was the setting of the meal, some impending disaster. And what about the elements of the Passover meal? As far as the disciples were concerned, as we read, the meal they'd prepared was the Passover meal. And of course, that meal is celebrated by Jewish families to this day. And of course, in our communion, we also celebrate it. In a different way. And those families had special food and drink prescribed by custom going back thousands of years. And there were special words to say as the story of how God's people Israel came out of Egypt through the Red Sea into the Promised Land was rehearsed again every time at the Passover meal, and the head of the household would tell that story. And just as the table in the Iranian New Year has its symbolic seven items, which look to the future and look to virtues which people hope would characterize them in the year ahead, so the table at the Passover meal had its symbolic items. But it looked back to what God had done in enabling the greatest deliverance of the Jewish people in their history. And it looked forward, too, to a kingdom for which people prayed and hoped. Now, just something about those symbols. The symbols of their escape from slavery in Egypt included unleavened bread. Unleavened because they'd had to leave their houses so quickly, they could not take dough which had yeast added to it because there wasn't time for the yeast to rise and make leavened bread for the journey. It was so quick that the order to come for them to go, and they were reminded of the speed of that. They had to take the dough unleavened. So I'm told it would have tasted rather like dry biscuits. Then there was lamb's meat, a full lamb, served up as a reminder of the blood of the lamb placed over the door, the lintel of the house, the door, as a sign to the angel as it passed, the angel of death as it passed over the city, that these houses were to be preserved. Those households were not to be touched. There was salt water to remind them of the tears which they shed while slaves in Egypt, and a reminder of the salt water of the Red Sea through which God had brought them to eventually to the Promised Land. There was a collection of bitter herbs to remind them of the bitterness of slavery, and a paste mixture of apples, pomegranates, dates, and nuts to remind them of the clay with which they'd been compelled to make bricks without straw while in slavery. And finally, there were four cups of wine to remind them of God's four promises, which you find in the book of Exodus. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will bring you out, I will deliver you from slavery, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with great acts of judgment, I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. Four glass cups of wine for each of those promises. So if the setting was one of something serious was impending, and the elements were the traditional ones, how did Jesus transform it and give it new meaning, which the disciples would not have been expecting? They would have been expecting him as the leader, the head of the household, to take the lead in the meal and tell the story as he would have done in previous years. But he took the symbolism, the bread and the wine in particular, into a totally different and a new direction, which must have been a